No. You know, we should have had 5 or 10 more top tens alone just from mistakes that I made or mistakes we made together as a group, and, you know, just cleaning those things up and really taking what it's given you. You know, if it's a 7th or 8th place day, you know, run 7th or 8th. We didn't do a good job of maximizing those kind of days, and, you know, I think that's the thing that we really need to focus on for this year.
We've got live streaming coverage of First Cup practice Saturday morning at 10:30 Eastern time at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
1 hour left of KGYM local programming on a Thursday, February the 8th, southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Be careful out there on the roads as the snow continues to fall. We're expecting an accumulation of up to 8 inches in the Cedar Rapids area and a little bit less, I think 4 to 6 south and 4 to 6 to the north as well. And we always have a breathing body here in the building of the at KGYM and KZIA, just to update you on the weather as the night moves along and into tomorrow. But like I said, be careful out on the roads. We want to have you here for a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, where we're going to have the big hour brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, talking a little bit of Big Ten basketball. And to talk some Big Ten basketball right now, we're going to bring in Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse, which is the SB Nation site that covers Big Ten basketball. Thomas, how are you on a Thursday?
Doing well, yeah. We're struggling with some snow over here as well, so it's definitely winter.
Yes, it is. And my first question for you is this: Chris Holtmann, the job that he has done in Columbus, I think that at this point he's probably running away with Big Ten Coach of the Year. First of all, what has made him so successful there? And does he have a chance to be the National Coach of the Year at this point?
I mean, I think he definitely should get consideration at this point. I mean, coming into this year, you know, take a step back and go back to the offseason. You know, Ohio State ends up losing to Rutgers in the Big Ten tournament. They miss the NCAA tournament. They miss the NIT. Thad Matta's in the thick of things. They have a poor recruiting spring, and that's when he stepped down in the middle of the summer. I guess, you know, fired, resigned, whatever you want to put at it. Either way, he leaves the program. Chris Holtmann came in, and I thought this team had no chance. I mean, they had some players, but, I mean, he goes after, like, Andrew Dockich, who was a so-so walk-on player at Michigan, a few late additions, and, you know, suddenly now they're looking like a top 10 team. I mean, they win at Purdue, which is looked like one of the toughest places to win anywhere in the country this year, sitting at 21-5 overall, the Buckeyes, 12-1 in the Big Ten. And they're in the Big Ten title race. They could win it. I think the biggest thing for him was Keita Bates-Diop has just elevated his game. I mean, he looks like the Big Ten player of the year so far this season, an All-American. And, you know, I don't know if that was necessarily just Holtmann or Bates-Diop coming back from injury and sort of building on his game, but he's been the big difference maker. But Holtmann has really got that group playing together well, and I agree. I mean, I think he should be right up there for Coach of the Year in any of those award categories.
Thomas Bendit of SB Nation joining us. I know you cover Michigan as well. I want to talk about Michigan State for a second. We saw them here in Iowa City a couple of days ago, and they're 23-3 on the season, and it's hard to argue with that record, but they've had some close calls lately. And a lot of people in attendance at Tom Izzo's press conference noticed that he just seemed a little bit tired. He seemed fatigued and a little bit downtrodden. This is one of the most talented teams in the Big Ten, yet they're kind of getting by the skin of their teeth. Do you think the outside noise might be getting them to them a little bit, or are they just kind of a young team?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that certainly has to play a factor. You know, Izzo's getting drilled on the scandals there at every press conference. You know, obviously the players have social media. They read the news. They know what's going on. And it hasn't been a good look for the Spartans for a variety of reasons. But on the court, I think the biggest issue for them is, you know, last season they were a middling team. They end up making the NCAA tournament as a lower-end team, get knocked out the first weekend. But their big issue last year was poor backcourt play and a lot of turnovers. And this year, you know, they added Jaren Jackson, who has been really, really good as a freshman, potential NBA lottery pick this year. But the backcourt is really doing the same things it did last year. It still turns over the ball a lot. When they face good guards, good big guards that can defend, they have a lot of trouble. I think that's what bit the Spartans when they played the Wolverines. Xavier Simpson really played a good defensive game for Michigan. And I think that's what bit them against Ohio State as well. And, you know, you mentioned they've sort of been playing things tight here over the last couple of weeks against some, we'll call them lower-end teams. But they get the showdown with Purdue this weekend. We'll see if they've improved. I think the Boilermakers are going to be a tough matchup for them. But, yeah, this team is loaded. I think the expectation coming in the year was a Final Four. I mean, when you get really, I called it manna from heaven with Miles Bridges just deciding to come back out of nowhere. When you got two potentially lottery picks on a team, you really should be in that Final Four conversation. So we'll see. They got a few big matchups here in the coming weeks, but so far a little underwhelming, but they're certainly in the picture still.
You wrote an article early mid-December saying that it's very possible that the Big Ten is a three-bid league this year. And you kind of look and you've got Purdue, you've got Michigan State, and then you've got Ohio State, but then a pretty noticeable drop-off. I'm curious, has anything changed your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think Michigan emerged a little bit, and they sort of solidified themselves. I know they just lost to Northwestern, so maybe not the best timing to say that. But I think Michigan still has pretty good odds to say it. But outside of those four teams, it's kind of slim pickings right now. You know, the bracket, everybody has their bracketology site they like. I like this one called T-Rank. And right now he only has four Big Ten teams in, and the teams that have a shot, you know, like Maryland, Nebraska, Penn State, have pretty low odds to make it in. And plus they play each other a bunch here in the next couple of weeks. So it's kind of, they're going to eat each other most likely. But yeah, I mean, it's a down year for the Big Ten. I really think that it's sort of a combo of, just poor non-conference play. You know, a lot of the Big Ten teams are young this season. And I think the other part of it is this compressed Big Ten slate where teams are put into these back-to-back games, quick turnarounds. I know a couple weeks back, you know, Michigan's played at three different locations in 6 days, stuff that just normally doesn't happen in college basketball. Also, the Big Ten tournament can be played a week early. I think that has caused some of these quote-unquote, you know, higher-end teams to lose a game here or there and slip. I think that has factored into this. But, yeah, my prediction has stayed the same as far as the last couple of weeks at least. I think four Big Ten teams will make it in on Selection Sunday. You know, Purdue, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan. And I don't see anyone else getting in at this time.
One of those notable exclusions that you're talking about, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. So there's a couple of angles to go at with Nebraska. First of all, they bring in Bill Moose, their new athletic director, and the first thing he does is fire Mike Riley, bring in Scott Frost. So the next question was going to be, does Tim Miles have a job after this season? 18-8 on the season. They're sitting at fourth in the Big Ten right now. Does this not look like a big – first of all, does this not look like an NCAA tournament team? And do you think Tim Miles has done enough to save his job?
Well, I would say the first question, the NCAA tournament, my thing is I don't think they'll make it. And the main reason I say that is if one is to look ahead at what they have, you know, coming up in the next couple of weeks, they don't have any marquee opportunities. You know, they don't get Purdue at home or Michigan State at home. So it's going to be hard for them to build the resume without just winning a bunch of games. You know, they have five remaining regular season games and then obviously the one Big Ten tournament game guaranteed. And, you know, I think they're going to have to win four or five of those six games to really get up there just from an RPI perspective. It's possible, you know, I don't want to rule them out. College basketball is a crazy place. But I think they're going to have trouble really building that resume, you know, when they're playing Rutgers at home or Indiana at home. But with regard to the second question, you know, has Tim Miles done enough? I think they're going to make the NIT, and that doesn't sound great, but, you know, Nebraska, I believe they're the only Power 5 program that's never won an NCAA tournament game. So, you know, we're not talking about Duke or Kentucky. So I think an NIT is probably good enough to give him another year, especially because I believe most of his lineup is set to return for next year as well. So I think he's done enough, you know, assuming there's no absolute collapse here down the stretch.
You mentioned the big matchup this weekend in the Big Ten play, Michigan State taking on Purdue. Now, Thomas, I have to ask you this because Purdue has busted my bracket the last 2 years, and I told everybody that I will believe it when I see it. So I'll ask you, is this Purdue team Final Four good?
I definitely think they're Final Four good. Absolutely. They're just, I know they're coming off a loss. You know, they lost to Ohio State earlier this week in a very, very tight game, but they're so balanced. They're in terms of efficiency, if you're a guy who likes advanced stats like I do, they're top five in offense and defense on KenPom. Senior filled lineup. They got the big man. They got the shooters. Carson Edwards is a all Big Ten caliber guard in the backcourt. I think they have all the pieces. I mean, if they are going to stumble early on in the NCAA tournament, I think the only route to that is they have to get in foul trouble. I think if Purdue has a weakness, it's they don't have a particularly deep bench. They have, you know, a guy here, a guy there, but there is a noticeable drop-off, in my opinion, when they have to reach down into the bench. But I just have a tough time believing that there are going to be many teams that can expose that early this year, considering Purdue is certainly in line for a one or two seed, assuming they finish strong. But, yeah, as far as this weekend, though, I'm very excited to watch the Spartans and Boilermakers face off. That front court battle, you know, with Nick Ward, Isaac Haas, Vincent Edwards, Miles Bridges is going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse, the managing editor of the Big Ten SB Nation website. Let's talk about the team that you cover the most, the Michigan Wolverines, quietly flying under the radar, 8-5 in conference. They've struggled a little bit on the road. What is going to be the X factor in determining how far they can make it in March?
Well, I think the big X factor for them is free throw shooting. It's kind of odd to say because, generally speaking, John Beilein's Michigan teams are very, very good from a shooting perspective. You know, if you look back at how they've shot from the free throw line during his tenure in Ann Arbor, they've shot very, very well. But this year, in terms of free throw shooting, they're 340th in the country in free throw percentage. It's really hurt them in close games this year. It's made a lot of games that should have been blowouts a lot closer. I think that is absolutely going to determine what happens in March. It wouldn't shock me if it knocked them out of the Big Ten tournament early. It wouldn't shock me if they lost their opening game because of that. But if they do get decent free throw shooting and they can get one of their bench guys like Jordan Poole, Isaiah Livers, who are young freshmen, one of those guys to play well, I think they're more than capable of getting to the second weekend. But the free throw shooting is a huge red flag for me as far as the Wolverines. But we'll see if they can figure out a way to maybe get that up from, they're shooting 64% right now, which is terrible. If they can get that up to like 75 or something, you know, maybe that fixes the issue enough.
Now, we mentioned the matchup in Iowa City earlier this week, Michigan State. Having Iowa take them down to the wire. A lot of Iowa fans are a little bit perplexed at this point. I know that we were talking about the loss of Peter Jok and how big of a factor that has been, but defensively they haven't been able to stop anybody. Offensively they've been inconsistent, I should say. Has the level of their struggles surprised you at all?
It has. You know, I expected in some ways, you know, specifically offensively, they were going to take a step back. You know, when you lose a guy like Peter Jok, you're not going to replace him overnight. You know, one of those guys doesn't walk in every year for most teams, maybe not even a Duke or Kentucky. But, yeah, I mean, I thought they had a lot of guys coming back. They had a lot of guys with experience, obviously Bear, Bohannon, Cook. I thought those were all guys who can make some noise. And then when you add in what Garza was doing last summer, I thought this was going to be a team that was going to be dangerous in the Big Ten, maybe a shot at the NCAA tournament if things went well. But, yeah, I mean, it just it hasn't worked well, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the defensive play has been really rough at times. I mean, KenPom has them 248th in defensive efficiency, which is obviously not great. so I think really they need that to come up. And, you know, frankly, that's I think it's got to start from the backcourt. You know, they need guys who can create pressure. They need guys who can get steals. I don't know if they necessarily have that on the roster for this year. But, you know, maybe next year they still are a relatively young team. So, I mean, you know, maybe a couple of these guys take a step forward for next season. You know, Fran McCaffrey's obviously a coach who, generally speaking, has done a great job at developing maybe some under-the-radar guys. So if I'm a Hawkeye fan, that's the one thing that keeps me encouraged about heading into the future.
Now, I know they've won four of their last five, and including that victory at home against Michigan, but who do you think's been the bigger disappointment this season? Has it been Northwestern, or has it been Minnesota, who's 3-10 in conference and I think had a preseason 14th ranking in the country?
You know, I would say Northwestern, and the reason I would say that is because, you know, Minnesota has the huge caveat of they lost Reggie Lynch to a off-court issue for the season, likely his career, I guess. And Amir Coffey, who was their rising young wing, he's been injured for the majority of the season, or at least the bigger games of the season, I should say. So that's the one reason I would say for Minnesota. I thought the Gophers were going to be better than the Wildcats, but you had told me those two guys were going to miss a lot of games. Really, the play wouldn't have surprised me. But, yeah, Northwestern, I mean, I thought maybe they were a little overhyped coming into this season just because, if people remember, they sort of lived off that momentum through February and March last year of, you know, making the program's first NCAA tournament. And if you look at KenPom, and, again, I hate to rant about my advanced stats here so much, but the Wildcats, they were 38th in KenPom last year, which is pretty solid, but, you know, far from an elite team. But certainly I did not expect them to struggle this much. I mean, you know, as you mentioned, they won 4 of 5, but, I mean, they lost to Indiana earlier this season, Penn State, Nebraska, got wrecked against Oklahoma in non-conference play. And it's been a struggle. I know Brian McIntosh, there was an interview with him where there was concerns, you know, maybe they got a little complacent and, I don't know, maybe with inflated egos a bit. But, yeah, that was very much surprised me that they've struggled so much this year. Minnesota doesn't surprise me so much given the circumstances, but certainly I thought the Gophers would be better than they are as well.
Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse at the SB Nation site for the managing editor of the SB Nation site for Big Ten basketball. Thomas, thanks so much for joining us this evening, and hopefully we can catch up with you around Big Ten tournament time.
Definitely. Thanks a lot. Happy to join.
Thomas Bendit of SB Nation. You can give him a follow at T Bendit, which is at TBEINDET. DIT. But my apologies. 6:23, just about a half hour to play with here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Thank you to Thomas for joining us. The podcast for hour number 3 will be available at the same place that the podcast for hours number 1 and 2 are available right now. That would be kgymradio.com, where you can vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question. What is your favorite winter Olympic sport? Is it curling, figure skating, ice hockey, bobsled/luge, skiing, speed skating, or snowboarding? And just about half hour to play with on local programming. Skiing is leading the way with just about 40%. of the vote. We're going to step aside, take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hit a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then we'll get to everybody's favorite segment, and that's Would Ya. More on the way after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier boys basketball team knocked off Kennedy on Tuesday night, 73-48. The win broke a 17-game losing streak to the Cougars. Jackson Jones led Xavier with 26 points. The Saints will be at Linmar for an MVC game tomorrow night. The Xavier girls basketball team also knocked off the Kennedy Cougars on Tuesday, 54-48. Caitlin Daniels had 15 and Emily Jasper 13 for the Saints. Xavier will close out the regular season with a game also at Linmar tomorrow. The Xavier wrestlers will take place in a Class 3A district meet this Saturday, hosted by Dubuque Senior. Top two at each weight will advance to the state tournament in Des Moines, February 15th through the 17th. The Xavier bowling teams bowled Linmar last Friday. The boys knocked off the Lions, led by Charlie Hart with a 269 game and 465 series.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
The most special gifts for her this Valentine's Day will be found at Siegel's Jewelry. Gifts like heart-shaped sterling and gold jewelry, 50% off. 24-karat gold overlay roses in most colors, normally $79, now just $39. For the perfect Valentine's Day gift, it's Siegel's Jewelry. One half block south of the Town & Country Shopping Center, or go online at diamonds4ever.com.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Paint? No. Paramount isn't just paint. It's the number one paint in overall interior hide and stain resistance, providing the most advanced protection in just one coat. And now you can get that same outstanding protection with our new Paramount One Coat White. This first-of-its-kind one-coat ready mix white provides a beautiful white finish. You'll find Paramount paint exclusively at Menards. In third-party tests, interior paint claims versus super premium home center brands in eggshell sheen.
Right now at Menards, get 11% off everything, including Pittsburgh Paramount paint.
6:26, hour number three continues. KGYM local programming till 7 o'clock. Once again, Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, Todd Brommelkamp, under the weather. And speaking of the weather, we remind you to drive safely this evening. Take it slow. And I'm sorry, Kyle. That was a very parental and lame tone that I just used. Please take it slow and take your time getting wherever you need to get to, and I'm not going to lecture you any longer. You know what to do.
You're just very caring.
No, I didn't like that tone. I remember when my mom used to, Alex, do your homework. No, I wasn't. I love my mom, but that was never the tone that I enjoyed. And I apologize to the listeners for that. But what we need to do right now is we need to get caught up. We need to get Kyle to give you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa junior outfielder Robert Nystrom was pegged again as the Big Ten's preseason player of the year, this time getting the nod from Baseball America. He was also named the second best prospect in the conference for next year's MLB draft. Pitcher Brady Shanuel was ranked 7th, and Jack Dreyer was listed as the 5th best freshman. Iowa State couldn't pull off a second upset of 7th-ranked Texas Tech last night, falling on the road 76-58. Cameron Lard was 10 of 11 from the floor and had a game-high 22 points in just 20 minutes of action, but the Cyclones clearly felt the absence of starting point guard Nick Weiler-Babb, racking up 15 turnovers with only 8 assists. The UNI men had a pretty good win last night over Bradley and Cedar Falls, 74-65. A team that can struggle to score at times, they got a crucial contribution from Wyatt Lohaus with 25 points off the bench, coming mostly on his 6 of 9 shooting from beyond the arc. That moves the Panthers out of a last-place tie with Valparaiso. The Iowa women will be hosting Penn State tonight as they try to get back near the top of the Big Ten standings. You can get out there and see Wooden Award candidate Megan Gustafson as they tip at 7 o'clock. You might have heard about the brouhaha that was today's NBA trade deadline, but one deal you might not have noticed as much was a three-teamer that sent Doug McDermott to Dallas. He now gets to reunite with former Ames High School teammate Harrison Barnes. You're hearing us right now on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, or 107.5 FM, the North Gym, because we've got West Branch at Clear Creek Amana for a girl-boy doubleheader. The boys should be getting started shortly after our show finishes, and you can hear it on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Thank you to Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports for joining us to break down the craziness that was the NBA trade deadline today. And thank you to Thomas Bendit of SB Nation who joined us to talk a little Big Ten hoops. And that podcast will be available in just about half an hour. Hours number one and two are already available at kgymradio.com. Just about 25 minutes remaining on your Thursday afternoon program. We have one more segment to go, and it's everybody's favorite segment. At least that's what we tell ourselves. Would ya? It's on the way after this.
Dance to your own beat this Valentine's Day. Purchase $699 or more at Helzberg Diamonds and get a free Mega Blast waterproof speaker plus power-up charger with built-in Amazon Alexa, a $339.98 value. Helzberg quality, style, and selection make it easy to find that perfect something, and this incredible speaker makes it a blast. So hurry into Helzberg Diamonds and dance out with this unbeatable offer while supplies last.
Guys, get to JCPenney and show her some love. Now through Valentine's Day, find gifts she'll love like select fine and fashion jewelry up to 70% off after an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. Or for rewards members, get 1/10 carat total weight diamond studs or pendant for just $25 each while supplies last. Hurry in and find the gifts that will make her Valentine's Day. JCPenney. Coupon valid 2H214. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Support excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply. Offers represent savings on regular original prices while supplies last. Some exclusions apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
I love my wife, and I really love sleeping with her. I'd like to do it more.
Now that we have Theravent, sleeping with my husband is amazing. In fact, I'd love to sleep with him right now.
Theravent anti-snore strips are getting couples back to sleep together, because now there's no excuse to keep snoring. Theravent is clinically shown to reduce snoring using the power of your own breathing. They're now available in stores nationwide, and you can see how they work at Theravent.com. Theravent, the answer is right under your nose. Not intended to treat sleep apnea. Use as directed.
When hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need to get to a short list of qualified candidates fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. Daryl has hired with Indeed.
Using the site saves me a lot of time. It makes my job so much easier.
Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive dashboard. Your time is precious. Let Indeed help you get to your short list of qualified candidates. Post a job at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
Final 30 minutes of the afternoon program on KGYM, taking you up until 7 o'clock, where we're going to hand you off to, we'll get that in a second, I completely spaced. No, tonight, we're going to have Pac-12 basketball. I think UCLA taking on Arizona, that we'll get to a little bit later. High school basketball is now on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as West Branch is taking on Clear Creek Amana in a doubleheader. But right now, we have to get to a weekly staple, and that's Would Ya.
It's now time for everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Would you rather know when you're going to die, or would you rather know how you're going to die?
But why would you even say that? For shock value?
Can you give yourself a ding?
It's as simple as a yes or no.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
Would ya?
All right, Kyle, since Todd is not here and Todd is not going to come up with the questions, we decided that we're going to do a little bit of volleyball, which we've done before on this program. We will also want to remind you that you can participate at home or wherever you are on the Hertin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. So, Kyle, the first one I have for you is, I think it's pretty well been determined that for the three major Iowa college basketball teams, it's been a rough year. Could you agree with that? Because that's not the question.
Oh, I definitely could.
I think most people would agree with that. My question for you is, would you rather be Fran McCaffrey or Coach Ben Jacobson in this sense? Would you rather have a team that couldn't guard or a team that couldn't score?
Well, that's actually a pretty good question.
A team that can't guard but can score, or a team that can't score but can guard?
I would actually, have you heard the phrase that, I guess I don't even know what percent some people say, but a lot of defense is nothing but effort and communication.
Yes, I've heard that.
So that would be, so if we're going to say that defense is a lot of effort and communication, offense, the reality is offense requires talent. I mean, a good scheme, a good system can get you so far, but at the end of the day, you need guys who can put it in the bucket. And so I think I would definitely take a team that can score and just leave some to be desired with the defensive effort than have a team that just flat out cannot score.
I find nothing more frustrating in sports than when a team that I watch can't do the one thing or do one of the most important thing that you set out to do in team sports, and that's put points or runs up on the board.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the whole point of playing team sports. You can't win if you can't score. So a football team whose offense can't move the football, to me, is way more frustrating than a team that can't stop anybody. The same goes with basketball, and same goes especially in baseball. So I'm going to go with, we'll answer our own question. I agree with you. I'd rather have a team that struggled defensively but could at least put points up on the board, because at the very least, it's somewhat entertaining.
Right. Alex, if you're the Cavs, you might have heard Cavs kind of blew the whole thing up today without blowing the whole thing up. But would you have made all those moves, keeping in mind that maybe LeBron doesn't like it and you could lose him this summer?
Well, I think he's leaving anyway. But I think that, and I also think that these moves were done for him. He wanted these to get done. But even if he didn't, you cannot continue to run that team out on the court every night. They're old, they're slow, and they don't like each other. Those are three pretty important parts of being on a team, and those are three deficiencies that play a pretty important role in you losing games. You're old, you're slow, and you don't have any chemistry. That doesn't bode well for a basketball team. So D-Wade, D-Rose, Channing Frye, that's not a team that is going to win the Eastern Conference. And I think you have to alter your expectations. The NBA Finals showed last year that you are way behind the Golden State Warriors. And I don't think really any move at the trade deadline was going to change that, short of getting Paul George and DeAndre Jordan. And that wasn't going to happen. So right now, I think that with LeBron James and some of these young players like Jordan Clarkson and like Larry Nance and George Hill, who's not a young player, but he's a proven point guard, kind of a fringe starter, and Rodney Hood, you at least have some fresh faces and some athleticism that LeBron James can work with. Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose and Channing Frye and even Kevin Love to a certain extent, who wasn't traded, that's not a recipe for winning. So I think that they have a legit chance of winning the Eastern Conference, which you could not say yesterday. Quite honestly, I didn't think they were as good as the Celtics. I didn't think they were as good as the Raptors. I didn't think they were as good as even the Milwaukee Bucks. So I would have made the deal regardless.
I kind of have to agree. And you said the most important thing right off the bat, which is that it kind of feels like LeBron's preparing to leave anyway. And so you have to, and I think the Cavs actually did this, and proof of that is the fact that they held on to the Brooklyn pick that's supposed to be so high. They have to make moves looking out for themselves in the years after LeBron. And I think they did do that. And so, yeah, they got a lot of young talent today, and, you know, probably realistically made themselves better for the rest of this year, just because the chemistry on what was the Cavs was clearly terrible, not working. And they got better in a lot of different ways.
All right, Kyle, would you rather have Jimmy Garoppolo or Kirk Cousins?
That is so tough, because Jimmy looks good, but as we've mentioned, he's only started 7 games. And as Ed on the text line pointed out, we went through that whole segment to start. Those games were with the Patriots.
4 of them were, yeah.
Four of those games were with the Patriots, who you might remember a name, Matt Cassel. Matt Cassel looked pretty darn good playing for the Patriots, too. And so I don't necessarily mean that to discredit Jimmy Garoppolo or to say that I don't think he's going to be good. But Kirk Cousins at this point in his career is pretty proven. And, you know, I've kind of developed a fondness for Kirk Cousins and the fire that he has. I think I would love that from my quarterback. I'm going to go ahead and go with Kirk Cousins.
Of course, the news came out today that Jimmy Garoppolo got a 5-year, $137 million contract, which will now make him the highest paid player in the NFL. Kirk Cousins has been franchise tag 2 years in a row, and I think he's been making somewhere around $25 million a couple years ago and then $29 million this year. That doesn't... I think both of these contracts are ridiculous, and I think that both of these guys are overvalued, but you have to sit back and you say quarterbacks are always going to be overvalued, and this is kind of where the market has gone. Having said that, I want Jimmy Garoppolo because he's the younger option at this point. And I saw what I needed to see with him in three games in San Francisco on a bad team to make me think that he is the long-term option for the next at least 5 years as my starting quarterback. And money a lot of times can't buy you a franchise quarterback. In this case, for the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan, one fell right into your lap. And I think you probably paid him a little too much. But he's the guy moving forward. Kirk Cousins, I do think he's a proven quarterback. I just don't know how far he's going to take you by himself. I think he's above a game manager. He's somewhere in between the game manager type and a guy like Derek Carr. He's in that Alex Smith range, and it's interesting that now Alex Smith is with the Washington Redskins because they're very comparable. Good, not great quarterbacks. I'll go with the upside. I'll say Jimmy Garoppolo has a chance to be great, and I guess I'll take him.
You kind of touched on it there. This question kind of overlaps a little bit, but I think it's just different enough. You're the Niners. As you just said, you've been searching high and low for a franchise quarterback. One fell right in your lap, but he's a free agent. And the market drives the price. So if you're the Niners, would you have made Jimmy Garoppolo the highest paid player in the NFL?
The highest paid player in the NFL is Jimmy Garoppolo.
But it's what you had to do.
If he wasn't going to sign for less than being the highest paid player in the NFL? A guy who hasn't been a starter for even half of a season wasn't going to settle for less than $137.5 million. Oh, that's tough. I guess in this case, I'll give him a pass for this reason and this reason only. Like you just said, the 49ers have been awful ever since Jim Harbaugh left. And they've been looking for a quarterback. And they don't have a quarterback in place. No disrespect to CJ Beathard, but I think he's going to have a fine career as a backup quarterback in the NFL, and that's what I've always said. I think that's what he's going to be, and he's going to make a lot of money doing it. I just don't think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. But I think Jimmy Garoppolo is. And the way he played down the stretch and elevated that team single-handedly, he looked like you want your franchise quarterback to look. When Aaron Rodgers is on the field, he elevates his team. When Cam Newton is on the field, he elevates his team. No matter who is around some of these guys, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, they find ways to succeed. And that was what Jimmy Garoppolo showed in that test run, the final three games of the 2017 season. So for the 49ers, I'll give them a pass. I'm not going to say that making him the highest paid player in the NFL is justified or I would do it. But if I'm anybody other than one of the worst teams in the league, no, I would not.
You said it's a tough spot to be in. But for me, it kind of comes down to this. The Niners, like you said, are awful, have been awful for quite some time now. And you know, there just aren't that many starting quarterbacks out there, and the market dictates price, and he is an available, good starting quarterback. You have to do what you have to do. If that was the price that he was stuck on, I mean, it's either you sign him and, you know, maybe you're overpaying him a little bit, or you don't and you continue to be terrible. And it you know, it's kind of easy.
All right. This is the last one that I have. Maybe you have a couple more, but this is the last one that I have.
I've got one more.
Okay. If you're an NFL franchise or even a college football program, who would you rather have running your football outfit?
I love that word, outfit.
Josh McDaniels or Lane Kiffin?
Oh, okay. See, now that's a juicy question, and maybe I'm just being a prisoner of the moment. I don't think so. Josh McDaniels is dead to me. I think the shenanigans that he pulled on the Colts is, you know, really just one of the most uncool things that I've ever seen. Lane Kiffin, he's kind of a shyster. Lane Kiffin might need a curfew, especially if I'm in a college town and I'm running a college outfit. Lane Kiffin might need a curfew. We all know that. But what I don't think that, well, gosh, he kind of did the same thing. No, I guess that's tough. That's really tough. Lane Kiffin is at least more marketable. He's good on Twitter. I think the kiddos like him. Meanwhile, McDaniels really has no success to speak of in the past. Until he got hitched on with the Patriots, his only thing was failing with the Broncos. He had one subpar year with St. Louis, I believe. Hasn't really done a whole lot. And, I think what he did with the Colts, to have, if he was far enough into that process that he had assistant coaches, you know, hired by the Colts, you know, I don't know if they up and moved in the last few weeks already, but, you know, his decision making there wasn't just a bad look, but it actually caused problems for other people. And that's just extremely selfish to me. And I have no respect for it. I don't want anything to do with Josh McDaniels in my hypothetical outfit.
As a former player, brought up, a former player who played in Denver under Josh McDaniels says that when he was cut by the Broncos, he got a voicemail on his parents' landline to let him know that he was cut. And then tried to call McDaniels back. An assistant coach answered and said, he'll call you back. He never called back.
He just seems like such a shyster.
He goes to, he gets ousted from Denver after drafting Tim Tebow in the first round.
Good work.
And goes to St. Louis, and they have a 2-14 season. Then he goes back to New England. Has a few good years under Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. And agrees in principle to be the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. To the point where he is trying to get his assistants, actually successfully getting some of his future assistants to go to Indianapolis to take the job. And they already did, waiting on him to end his season so he could inevitably take over as the head coach of the Colts. And he decides, no, I'm not going anywhere, and doesn't have the decency to call anybody or make a statement, or just hides under his rock, which is the same place where Mike from Marengo thinks that I live, and not say anything. He, at least with Lane Kiffin, when he left Rocky Top, he held a press conference at, like, what was it, 2 in the morning? I don't know if it was that late, but I think that's what Tyler Ryder said. He holds a press conference at 2 in the morning, doesn't take any questions, but at least he stood up in front of the media and said, hey guys, I'm headed to USC. That was in 2009. I'm not saying that's good, but that's at least better than not having the decency to call any of your assistant coaches, not having the decency to call any of your players that you cut. It just seems like he is a coward. And I don't understand. I don't think he better hope that Robert Kraft hires him as the heir apparent to Bill Belichick, because no other NFL franchise is going to hire him and as their head coach.
I hope he doesn't get that job, because you know that's really, that can be the only reason that he decided to go back on his word and stay with the Pats, is he's got to seem to think that he's going to get that job next. And I think it would be perfect karma if he didn't.
One more?
I got one more for you.
Go ahead.
And this is based off our conversation with Thomas Bendit just now. Would you be willing to bet that the Big Ten gets more than four bids in the NCAA tourney?
No. No, I would not. Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan. Nebraska, then Penn State are the only other hope. Other than that, there's no chance that any, unless somebody gets hot and wins the tournament.
Yep.
Northwestern's not making it. Indiana's not making it. Maryland's probably not going to make it. And I look at Nebraska because they're on the surface, they're 18-8. They're 9-4 in the Big Ten. But look at their resume. Who is their best win this season? I think, actually, definitely, their best win was against Michigan at home earlier this season. Otherwise, they've played a very lackluster Big Ten schedule, and they played a very lackluster non-conference schedule. And the crazy thing is, they could end up going, if they win four of their last five, 22-9, and missing the NCAA tournament. Let's say they win one or two games in the conference tournament. They'd be 23-10 or 24-10, and miss the NCAA tournament. You don't often see that from Big Ten teams, but their resume is not strong enough, and Penn State is kind of in the same boat. I think both of these teams are improved. Both of these teams probably have saved their head coaches' jobs, Tim Miles. We'll see if Bill Moose wants to give him another year. It's always hairy when you have a new athletic director in there. Pat Chambers at Penn State, they're 17-9, and much like Nebraska, not a great resume, but they're improved. I wouldn't bet that either of these teams make it into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you pretty much hit on everything else. I don't even need to pretend to repeat it all. But you've got the three teams at the top. Thomas is actually, you know, substantially more confident that Michigan's going to make it in, much more than I am. Not saying that they definitely won't, but I think they're very much on the bubble right now. They also are going to need, you know, I guess they did just beat Purdue, but they're going to need to finish strong, just the same way that, you know, any bubble team would. And then that scenario, you kind of just put it into perspective there for Nebraska. They end up going 22-9 this season, and they miss the tournament. Gosh, that would suck. That program, when was the last time Nebraska was relevant in basketball? I don't even know.
I'm trying to think of what year that team made it to the NCAA. Was it 2013? 2014? Tim Miles' first or second year?
There, I
digress.
I don't even know. But that program has had to work so hard to even get to where they're at right now. If they actually put together a pretty good year and then still miss the tournament, that would just, I feel for that fan base. I feel for that team.
Nebraska's last NCAA tournament appearance was 2014.
It's not even that long ago, but...
Before that, I
wonder when...
It was 1998.
Yeah, okay. So we're talking one appearance in the last 20 years.
Seven total in their history. So yeah, I definitely get that. We have to take our final break. We'll come back. That does it for Would Ya. We'll get you into a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then we're going to get you out of here, and hopefully you're driving safely on these snowy roadways in eastern Iowa. You're listening to KGYM Local Programming. We'll be back with more after this.
In the 1940s, everything had an air of romance. Women wore red lips and high heels just to go to market. Gentlemen sported handsome full-length wool coats and stylish hats. And the movies featured sweet and wonderful stories of love. Times and fashions have changed, but that sense of romance remains at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers. Since 1944, the Dickens family has been offering gifts of love on Valentine's Day, like a delicate bracelet, a set of perfectly cut diamond earrings, or a beautiful and elegant watch. At Hertine & Stocker, they understand that Valentine's Day is much more than a day for children to exchange heart-shaped candies. It's a day to be swept away by the magic of romance. Find the feeling. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington, in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Is it possible to make better better? Can you always expect more than what you always expect? At Honda, asking these questions brings us the innovative answers you'll find in the Honda HR-V LX. With more cargo space than a Subaru Crosstrek and magic seats you won't find on any other competitor. Hurry into your local Honda dealer and test drive the Honda HR-V today to see what expecting more gets you.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to centralmidwesthondadealers.com for more details.
See dealer for financing details.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Okay, everybody, I've called this brainstorm because senior management says we need big ideas. So, what have you got?
Well, Dave, how about we...
No.
Okay, we can try the...
Stupid.
What if we started charging employees to use the bathroom?
I love that idea. That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks, Dad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
3530 on the text line. Thank you for sticking with us. We're coming up on the end of hour number three, the finale of the KGYM programming on Thursday, February the 8th, a snowy edition. Thank you to 4113. As well, and congrats once again to Ann and Solon, who was the winner of our Hertine & Stocker $50 gift card. We're going to have another chance for you to win tomorrow on the Todd Bromwell Campus Show with Alex Kuhn after 4 p.m. We're going to send you to a little bit of ESPN programming following our show, but we can't get there until we give you a Midwest Bank Big Board update, our final of the day.
Iowa junior outfielder Robert Nystrom was pegged again as the Big Ten's preseason player of the year, this time getting the nod from Baseball America. He was also named the second best prospect in the conference for next year's MLB draft. Pitcher Brady Shenouil was ranked 7th, and Jack Dreyer was listed as the 5th best freshman. Iowa State couldn't pull off a second upset of 7th-ranked Texas Tech last night, falling on the road 76-58. Cameron Lard was 10 of 11 from the floor and had a game-high 22 points in just 20 minutes of action, but the Cyclones clearly felt the absence of starting point guard Nick Weiler-Babb, racking up 15 turnovers with only 8 assists. The UNI men had a pretty good win last night over Bradley and Cedar Falls, 74-65. A team that can struggle to score at times, they got a crucial contribution from Wyatt Lohouse with 25 points off the bench, coming mostly on his 6 of 9 shooting from beyond the arc. That gets the Panthers out of a last-place tie with Valparaiso. The Iowa women will be hosting Penn State tonight as they try to get back near the top of the Big Ten standings. You can get out there and try to see Wooden Award candidate Megan Gustafson as they tip in just a few minutes. You might have heard about the craziness that was today's NBA trade deadline, but one deal you might not have noticed as much was a three-teamer that sent Doug McDermott going to Dallas. He's now getting to reunite with former Ames High School teammate Harrison Barnes. You're hearing us right now on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, or 107.5 FM, the North Gym, because we've got West Branch at Clear Creek Amana for a girl-boy doubleheader. The boys should be getting started right around now. You can hear that on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Iowa State, after their loss last night, returns home on Saturday to take on Trae Young and the Oklahoma Sooners. That'll be fun to see in Ames. We are going to send you to a little ESPN programming. We're going to, on the South Gym, you're going to head to, or you're already, if you want to tune into the doubleheader at between Clear Creek Amana and West Branch, it is underway on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. To hear hours number 1 through 3 of the podcast, you can visit our website at kgymradio.com. We will talk to you tomorrow. We're going to have the big hour with Rob Howe, Todd Brummelkamp, myself, Alex Kuhn. Until then, have a good night and stay safe on the roads.